Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center, where tonight we're going to be talking about the Roaring Lion, who's king and who's pretending. We are so glad that you all could join us on tonight. We hope that you have invited someone to join in as well. So, without further ado, we will hand the call over to our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr.
All righty. Thank you, Ms. LaTanya, and I thank everybody for chiming in with us tonight as we do our recap of the week, the Learning Center, so we can learn a little bit more, dive a little deeper. We can always grow in God, and we just want to welcome you all to that experience. So with that being said, sit back, relax, and make sure that y'all chime in, okay, whatever you have to share that God has placed upon your hearts. Ms. LaTanya.
Thank you so much, Mr. Carr. So, again, we've stated what we're going to be discussing, the Roaring Lion. And I want to begin by posing a question, just some food for thought. And it's to ask, how aware are we that we have an enemy, we have an adversary who's, the Bible tells us, like a roaring lion, and whose main purpose is to weaken our faith and ultimately destroy us? Now, a lot of times we'll say that we're aware, but really, if we think about that, a lot of times we fight against other people. We fight against that thing, if you will, that addiction, but we have to realize that it is an attack. And the first thing that I want to point out to everyone is that Satan has no rightful authority.
Yeah, Ms. LaTanya, before you go there, Mr. Carr wanted to share something real quick. Mr. Carr?
I'll go ahead and pray first, please.
Mm-hmm. Dear Lord, we come before you at this hour to say thank you. We thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to come together in fellowship on tonight. We thank you for your grace and mercy in covering us on this day, dear Lord. We ask that you will go before us at this hour. Open up our hearts and our minds so that we may receive all that you have for us, Lord God. We thank you for your protection. We thank you, Lord God, for the peace, for the strength, for the hope that you continue to impart upon us. We ask that you will just continue to lead and guide us, dear Lord. We thank you for this gift of ministry. We thank you for our leader. We ask that you will continue to grace us and allow us to go in the manner in which you've called us to go. We pray and ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Ms. LaTanya.
Okay. So as I was stating, the first point that I wanted to bring up is that we have to remember that Satan has no authority over us as believers. And a lot of times we get caught up in situations and we're being attacked. And I believe that we have all lost sight about that. But you know, Satan is described as a liar and a deceiver, and he uses that deception as his weapon to gain advantage over us. And if we don't realize the limitations of his power, this is when we get caught up and we start to conform to what it is that he would want us to do versus conforming to what God would have us to do. And the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So the point here that we have to realize is that Satan is already a defeated enemy. So no matter how great his roar is, no matter what it is that we're being faced with, his authority was already neutralized by the finished work of Christ on the cross. Now, the second point that I'd like to share is that we as a believer, as the body of Christ, we have authority over Satan. But the question is, if Satan is already defeated, why then is he still able to cause so much havoc in our lives? And we have to realize there that it's our responsibility to use the authority that Christ has given us to put Satan in his rightful place. Now, we've all been saved and we've all been given that authority, that power over Satan. But a lot of times we end up pretending versus being the kings and queens that God has called us to be. So another scripture that I'd like to reference comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, and it states, "You have the right to use the authority of the name of Jesus to repel and drive Satan out of your territory and to break his grip over spiritual strongholds." So when we recognize the activity of Satan and all the things that he tries to do in our lives, this is when we must be bold and we must take action and do what God is calling us to do. Just as Jesus and the early apostles did, we have the authority to command Satan to leave. And if we're not rooted in the Word of God, we won't know how to do that. If we're not in the right relationship with God, we won't fully understand what it is that we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to go about doing that. So those are just two of the points that I wanted to bring up, and two things that really stood out as we have been discussing this topic over the past week. But I don't know, what all did you get from the topic, Ms. Deanna?
I love what you just shared, Ms. LaTanya. And basically it's that we won't hear God's roar is what I heard from it. And that's one of the things that really stood out to me is understanding, one, the roaring lion. What is that roar? But I'll get to that later, because first I wanted to just touch base on Proverbs 30 and 30. Mr. Carr shared that last night. It was one of the scriptures that really stood out to me when we look at it, because it states, Proverbs 30 and 30 again, is the lion, king of animals, who won't turn aside for anything. And what caught my attention was that lions are considered to be the king of all animals, right, due to their size, their strength, and their numbers, and because they don't fear any other animals. Lions themselves have no natural predators. No other animal preys on a lion. Lions will fight to the death to protect their territory. And more often than not, it's other brethren, other lions, that others that look like them, that try to stake a claim over what they have. Lions themselves maintain order within their pride, the way a king maintains order within the boundaries of his kingdom. But like a king, lions keep strict control on their pride and the land in which they are in control of. But Satan, man, since his banishment from the heavenly realms, he, as they say, is the ruler of the world. This was his territory. Even so, he also knows that one day his worldly reign will come to an end. For Jesus, who's King of Kings, who's Lion of Judah, roared loud and clear on the day of his resurrection, defeating death, reminding Satan that he wouldn't turn aside for anything. Because let's be real, even Satan's legions, which Mr. Carr brought up also last night, knew to beg for sacrifice when Jesus demanded their departure from a Gentile man. But like a lion, Satan doesn't turn down in the face of defeat. He does not. He continues to fight against God until the day of reckoning. He will pretend to be God because he knows he can't fight fear. He failed at his attempts with Jesus. So he uses God's heirs who are born of this world, you and I, so that we may not get our inheritance and basically hang out with him. But many of the body of Christ who are heirs to the throne have been anointed as kings and queens, as lions and lioness. We have been commanded to discipline nations, to lead tribes, and we have been equipped with the wisdom, power, and authority of God himself. Our Father gives us all the training tools as a lion trains its cub to go out and stomp out demons, to put on his armor of protection, and to lift our swords to fight for our pride when evil spirits come up against what we have to do. But as a lion in Christ, we must be active in protecting our calling, our pride. We must have a powerful sense of justice in the depths of our souls, so that makes us raw, compelling us to take action when we come up against something that isn't right, not pretending or running for cover. Yet somehow we find ourselves going back to our old habits and focusing on survival like the cowardly lions, when we've been called to lead and influence people for the kingdom. But I thank the Lord that in his word he reminds us in Psalm 97 and 2 that righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Thus, those of us who live with his throne in our hearts, live with his throne as kings and queens that we are quickly moved, bounce back from the woe is me, bounce back from the this is all I know, bounce back from the I'm not worthy, bounce back from the they lied about me, drinking, stealing, fornicating, back and now, and will roar loud to bring righteousness and justice to any situation, leading as God has called us to do. God brought justice through Christ and extends that to his body through us. We must be people of great courage. As Proverbs 30 and 30 states, we must be lions, kings who won't turn aside for anything. Isn't that something, Ms. Latanya?
Yes, it is. You said we must be active. We must take action. I'm familiar with the opposite of that because a lot of times when it comes to being that advocate for Christ, I've tend, in the past to be passive, not have that bold personality. So when you said that, it just, I learned this past week that, when we close the door to Satan and all of his attacks, whatever it is that's coming up against us, we have to lock the door. So a lot of times, we leave the door open, or we close the door, but the door is not locked. So essentially, we can all relate because whatever addiction or whatever the sin is that we've been caught up in, a lot of times we end up going right back to that because the roar becomes intense, and this is what Satan knows will drive us back to him. And I've also learned that when we lift up Jesus in praise, so praise and worship, this is what sends Satan running in the opposite direction, excuse me. And this is essentially like our roar to him. So whenever we call upon the name of Jesus, it drives him away. The Bible tells us to not give place for the devil, and that can be found in Ephesians 4 and 27. So what that means is we are not to provide any area of our life where Satan can become comfortable and establish those strongholds in our lives, the things that we've been bound to for so long. And, when we continue to entertain the sin, the disobedience, the rebellious ways, and we continue to have that self-willed nature, this is when Satan thrives. So this is the type of environment that he flourishes in. And the scripture tells us that we have to remain submitted to God. So we have to resist the devil, and that's when he's going to flee. And the only way to actually overcome the roar is to submit ourselves fully to God on a day-to-day basis. So a lot of times we look back and we think, okay, I fell short, I tripped up, but we have to get right back up and get back into the fight. And that's what the Christian life is all about. It requires that we fight the good fight. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7, and 8 tells us that. That we have to fight the good fight. We have to finish the race and keep the faith in order to receive the crown of righteousness that God has promised to those who have lost his appearance. So a part of finishing that race and receiving that crown is standing firm and standing bold, even in the toughest of times, because a lot of times we want to throw in the towel. We want to give up because it's been too long that we've been dealing with this, or the roar has gotten too intense, and we just, it seems like there's just no way out. But God has already provided a way out for us. And that's something that we can rejoice about each and every day, because when we look back on the past and we see, okay, God got us through this, he got us through that, we overcame that roaring lion, that gives us the encouragement and the inspiration to continue to press forward. So the Bible also tells us that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And the world also meaning that roaring lion. So just as we go forward, we have to remember to stay faithful to God no matter how tough it gets, no matter how hard it looks, no matter how loud the roar gets, we have to remain in the presence of God.
Amen. Amen. Rejoice in the roar. And that just brings me to you know, you said earlier, the roar becomes intense. The roar causes Satan to run. And we have to rejoice in that. And that really brought me to just looking at what is the roar? Like, when do lions roar? And I learned during this week, I had so much fun, and I'm so grateful that Mr. Carr told us to, you know, mention to us, go look at some documentaries, go look at what the lions are all about. And I truly enjoyed that this week. And what I learned about roaring lions is that it's their communication tool. A roar can be heard approximately 5 miles away of great distance. It establishes for the lion their presence. It's a vehicle for them to state, this is my territory. It's used as a form of reconnection if they go away and they, you know, circle their territory and are away for a while. And when they come back, it's their reconnection with their pride. It's a rallying call. And I've even seen it in times where a soft roar can acknowledge to cubs that they are safe, that everything's all right, can come back. We are no longer under attack. Depending on the roar, the pride knows exactly what to do. And we know that as well when it comes to God. Just like a pride knows their king's roar, God's people know his voice. We know his word. We know his sound. You ever hear of a thunder clap? Man, when a thunder really claps in the sky, doesn't it make you stop in your place? Well, so can the roar of a lion. So can God's roar. One of the tools God used to extend his roar to his people was actually through trumpets. I don't know if this is something that many people know, but I truly enjoyed receiving this week, that God chose trumpets as the thundering, roaring instrument that he used to herald and signify important messages, announcements, and events, and as a signaling device when it came to battles or in hunting. But ultimately, it's the foretelling device seen all throughout Scripture as a signal declaring the truth. We see the trumpet sound at Mount Sinai. We see it tearing down the walls of Jericho. We see it in victory in warfare, roaring in joy. We see it at the return of the Ark of King David, roaring in celebration. We see it at the anointing of King Solomon, roaring in announcement. We see it at the dedication of the temple, roaring at a major event. And we see it by watchmen who are out looking over the territory as a warning sign, roaring that this is our territory. Exodus 19 and 16 states, so it came about on the third day when it was morning that there were thunder and lightning flashes in the thick cloud upon the mountain and the very loud trumpet sound, so that all people who were in the camp trembled. That's God's word. When he roars and he sends that sound, it makes people tremble. That's God's roar at work. In Numbers 10, we read about God, how God had Moses make two silver trumpets to coordinate the tribes. Just as a lion coordinates his pride, this is how we're going, roaring, this is where we're moving to. That's what God had Moses do. He coordinated the tribes as they moved throughout the wilderness to keep so many people, and if we look back in Numbers, we counted over 600,000 according to Scripture, and Moses had to keep that in tight formation, required clear communication, control using varying trumpet blasts. It was the trumpet which could be heard from miles away that made it possible, just like the lion's roar. A trumpet's blast called for assembly of all. It called for the assembly of leaders. It called for certain aspects of the camps to start moving from one direction to the next. But that can only be done through a tool in which God provided. The trumpet blast also serves as a reminder of it to Israel of God's protection over them. This is definitely our king's roar at work. But when we hear the seven trumpet sound in the last days, as was detailed in Revelations 8 through 10, take some time to read it. It's amazing what we see about the seven trumpets that will sound. We know when that occurs that the roar of the Lion of Judah, the roar of a King our Kings, the roar of the Lord of Lords, that we receive the message that his territory is safe, that all danger has been defeated, and it is safe to come home. But just to share God in all his glory, and just to share what happens with some of those trumpet sounds, on the fifth trumpet sound that the angels blow, God sends locusts that have teeth like teeth of a lion, which you can read about in Revelation chapter 9, to torture the people who do not believe in him. The sixth trumpet sound released an army of 200 million mounted troops to kill a third of the people on earth. The horses had heads of lions, and their tails had heads like snakes. Their power was in the mouths and in their tails. And then the seventh trumpet led to loud shouting in heaven, for it was time for God to judge the dead, reward his servants, his holy people, and those who feared his name, then destroy all who have caused destruction on the earth. So the very creatures Satan has chosen to imitate, the lion, the serpent, are used to torture and kill based on God's great judgment. That's what happens when we pretend. The true ruler, the true king, declares the truth and prevails. The roaring lion. Yes, sir.
Hey, go ahead.
Well, this was just to say that the roaring lion truly, truly is our Heavenly Father, who comes down and truly stakes his claim, and his truth is what will overcome all who are pretending. Hopefully, okay. Well.
Good deal. And so what we want to do, and I hope everybody, you know, y'all can still hear us, with the Learning Center, okay, let's dive into, you know, the whole aspect of this call, learn. Let's learn what we've already went over, okay, because I think it's important as we give information to dissect it where it comes from and what it means.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Right.
So thank y'all, too. Unmute Ms. Candy for me, please. One of the things that I want to start with is one of the things that Ms. LaTanya even brought to the forefront as we talk about, you know, the roaring lion, who's pretending and who's king. Who's king, who's pretending? You know, the Bible tells us, Ms. Candy, that, you know, be mindful, be watchful, be sober-minded. Be careful, because there is an adversary who also walks around like an angel of light. Now, if y'all know anything about a lion, as we've stated this throughout the week, let's dissect some things that we can learn on. What are some of the attributes of a lion? See, I need y'all to get interactive. I don't want to just hear from us. Let's get some feedback, because how do you know when you're learning if you never test anybody? Now, this is not a test of school or knowledge base, but let's see what has sunken in. This is not a time to be shy or bashful. Come on, y'all speak up now. Give me some attributes of a lion that you have learned now that you didn't know, and something that you already knew. What are some attributes?
Well, for me, I know that a lion is fierce and ferocious, and they're very calculated in what they do, and that's true of the lion and the lioness, and also that the lion, while he is really strong, he's not necessarily as fast as some of the other animals, so he won't approach certain animals in the same way that he would approach others.
Right. Okay. Good. So they're very calculating. Lions are. Now, we've learned that, right? Don't y'all know that God is very precise and calculating?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But Satan tries to be precise and calculating, too, just in another way. God allows things to happen in your life. This is a learning center. Calculated. It's not a calculated risk, because God takes no risk. Everything is done in God's order and timing. God said that a righteous man will fall several times but get up. I wonder what that lion calculation, God being the royal lion, I wonder, you know, royal priesthood, I wonder why he allows us to fall.
True.
That's calculated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the angel of light that tries to be like an angel of light, Satan, tries to be like God. He's calculated, but he wants us to fall, not for us to succeed later, but he wants us to fall to separate us from the things of God, to discourage us.
Right.
Right. So is that something that we learned? What else did we learn this week throughout the call? Anybody about the lion?
Well, it was one of the things was about the purpose of when Satan is acting like the lion, his whole purpose is to devour us. And he does that not always by, you know, being aggressive with it, but placing little things like planting seeds in our minds, and then it grows into something else, like a small thought, because he's not going to come at you with something that he knows that you've already overcome. He's going to come at you, like we said, in that calculated way. So we have to be aware of all of that, and also that we ourselves can be the lion, and it's not just Satan that is doing these things.
Okay. So the small things, anybody faced that throughout this week?
Yes.
Have you been facing that last week? You know, because when God give a word, you know the devil try and swoop it up if it's not planted in good soil.
Yes.
So that lion is very calculated. He puts negative things out there.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
Right? Very true. One of the things that Ms. LaTanya just said earlier, as we talk about this, we're learning tonight, you know, the Learning Center, very short and brief. If Satan has been defeated, why does he cause so much chaos? Why does that lion continue to roar? Well, hold on. Let me tell y'all this. You know, he's been defeated to the believer. Now, this is where it gets interesting. You can say all you want to that you believe in God, and Satan ain't hearing you.
Right.
Didn't you just, we just said this whole week, y'all, throughout the week. This is the Learning Center. Watch this. Lions fear nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So Satan being defeated, what makes you think he fear you?
Exactly.
You can say, I'm a Christian and I know God, all you want to. That royal lion that you're going to prove yourself.
Yes.
This is where it gets interesting, because a lot of our Christianity is based on verbal, not lifestyle, Miss Candy.
That's true.
We say we prove that we love God and nobody can judge me by the way that we talk. And I go to church.
Mm-hmm.
But Satan said, you got that today. I'll see you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You've learned that throughout this week, right?
Yes, sir.
The reason why a defeated devil still acts up is just like a bad child still acts up. But let me show y'all something about the devil and the bad child. Is it widely known? Doesn't the parent, by birth of their child, even upon birth, doesn't the parent have authority over their child?
Yes, sir.
Where did it go wrong? Why does the child start ruling the parent? Where did it go wrong? Now, to stop parents who don't parent their kids, and I'm not trying to be your buddy, oh, no. They put their little baby royal line in place. We learned it this week, right?
Yes, sir.
But they know who they are. And they enforce it. They enforce it. They enforce it. They don't just enforce it one time. They got to enforce it their child's whole life. I don't care how old you are, Candy. Your mama still put you in your place.
That's true.
That's the Learning Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why does that defeated devil, I'm going to tell you why. Because to the non-believer, we want things easy. We think that defeated means it won't come back.
Yes.
Their child is defeated too, but tell me that don't their child act up?
Mm-hmm.
But to a weak parent, their defeated child becomes the adult. I don't think y'all heard me. Hold on. Let's learn this because we talked about this. To that weak parent, that little child that you birth becomes the adult because you were trying to befriend and they start dictating to you. Now you might say, oh, they'll dictate to me, but why are they even on the same level as you? When your child starts to talk back and if at you, and you got to repeat yourself more than once, that means they don't respect you.
Yes.
Play the game with God and God, watch what happens. You go ahead and question and play with God and watch what happens. Mm-hmm. The ruling line. We'll be learning something here, right? This is what we've been learning all week. So to answer the question, the defeated devil is defeated The thing is, he knows who to prey on that's weak. He knows when you was born into royal priesthood. You was born as a royal king. You have authority over him. The thing is, you don't really believe it. You just say it.
Yes.
And he going to prove you. Satan can care less about what you say. Satan know the Bible, too. And he know it very well.
Mm-hmm.
Satan want to see how you going to handle every dart I throw at you.
Yes, sir.
Don't you know that's what lions do? A lion will actually study your movement to see how to attack you. We learned that throughout this week, y'all. So in other words, a lion is very formidable in taking down larger prey.
Yes, sir.
It takes down larger prey by something called a pride. We learned that throughout the week. What is the pride? Can y'all tell me what the pride is that we learned?
That's the group of lions. Usually it's one male lion and then the female lions and their cubs.
Is that male lion very distinguishable?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
By what?
Well, his entire physical appearance is different than theirs, and, well, it's his physical appearance. That's the bottom line.
Okay. The male is distinguishable by his mane.
Mm-hmm.
More so than anything else. Not all males always are larger than females. For the most part, they are. But definitely by the mane.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell an elephant male or female from a distance, can't you? You can't tell a female tiger versus a female male. Can you? But with that lion, you can. We learned this week, right?
Yes.
Doesn't that mane on that lion that we learned, doesn't it suggest royal? If you notice that some of these hotels that you go to, the very nice ones, the high elegant ones, what they have? Those little lions? They let you know it's 5-star.
Right.
Great quality. So the roaring lion possesses or tries to possess what God has. The thing is, his is tarnished. But to the untrained spirit, you'll believe it as truth.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we learned this week, right?
Yes, sir.
Very true, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the thing about it is this. As we proceed forward in this learning, in this teaching, make sure you know who is king in your life and who you follow. Because if not, as we have learned this week, okay, that lion, the fake one, the pretender, oh, he's a pretender, but don't ever think that he's weak. Check this out. God is not if. God is made strong in our what?
Yeah.
Come on, what the scripture say? Y'all know scripture? Come on, talk to me. God is made strong through our what?
Weakness.
Our weakness. If you have somebody trying to imitate God, that roaring lion, the pretender, is made strong through your what?
Through your weakness.
The weakness in God says that I humbly bow down to you. I can do it, but I can't do it without you. The weakness that the devil wants us to have is one called fear. And this is where doubt sets in. Yeah? This is where negativity rules your life. Yeah? This is where you render yourself powerless to hope. Yeah? You don't believe no more, yeah? This is when you start to say, I believe it when I see it, yeah? That means through your weaknesses, he's now all-powerful. And you believe him more than you believe God. You might say, well, you're lying. I don't believe Satan more than I believe God, but let's take a look at your lifestyle and go back and revisit that question. Because if you believe God, why haven't you taken your proper place and have an authority over the lion that will continue to roar in your life? Every time he roars, negativity comes your way, you fold. You go look for somebody for help. But if you had authority, why you got to go call somebody else to discipline your child? I'm asking a question. If you can control your child and you was given authority, why you got to call somebody else to control something that you was given authority over? Now, that's with your child. Why you got to call somebody else to give, Lord, y'all get this? Why you got to call somebody else to get on Satan that God already gave you authority over? You know why? Because you say you believe in God, but you don't believe in the God that's in your life. And that's where Satan is going to pounce on you, because you don't walk in authority. A lion can walk by itself. It may be vulnerable, but it's going to fight. Believe that. You don't even walk in authority because you're walking fearfully. This is why you always got to call the pastor to redeem or get situations right in your life. You got to call somebody else when somebody's ailing in your life. God gave you a tongue. He gave you, look, he gave you everything that you need. But you refuse to pray to him daily. So when something happens to a loved one, you got to go call a prayer warrior. You are the prayer warrior. But you succumb to the roaring lion, the pretender, so much to where you don't believe in the God you say you believe in. Because if you were given authority, why are you always calling on people? Not saying it's not a good thing, but you run too much. And the devil knows that's your weakness. So he will purposely separate you to tear you down.
Amen.
Oh, you can have a minute, Lonely Nights. You remember you said I can do all bad by myself, right? I can do bad by myself? And you kept on uttering them words. You buy right into the Satan, the devil's trap. We learned it this week, right? The Roaring Lion, this is the Learning Center. We learned, see, that talk right there, you can do bad by yourself. Why are you saying such? I don't believe in doing bad. I can do good by myself. But I can do greater with you.
Right.
That's too much pride, though, because we don't want to say we can do good by ourselves, but greater, because you always want to exclude people and say, I can do better without you. And that is a L-I-E, because if that be the case, you and I wouldn't be here, because God don't need us.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody prideful, they're going to say, yeah, he need me. Since when? Since when? If he needed you, he would tell you, and he would ask you when this person is coming and going. What he needs you for again? Y'all see this?
Yes, sir.
But we got to respect the roar of the real lion, God. And know when you was born into royalness. You are royalty. Okay? And as a lion, you being a king or a queen, as a lion, you fear nothing but God. Okay? But the thing is, we have to hone in on our abilities that God has given us, because even baby lion cubs come out and they play fight. They pray stalking. We don't even get together and pray together unless it's on a call or in church. When you going to call somebody over to your house and pray and not have no ulterior motives? You just praying over food for barbecue. That's how you lure them over there? Well, tell them you're having Bible study. Telling them you just want to pray with them and let's see how many come. You got to lure them by barbecue. Okay, we quiet. That means it's effective. Let us go ahead and pray. Okay? Now, this is what I want to do. I want to get one of the callers to pray. It don't have to be, look, whatever you say to God, we just touching and agreeing. That makes it perfect. So somebody be bold enough, because we walk without fear, right? We're not pretending in God, right? Somebody be, it ain't about your eloquentness of your prayer. Please don't do that. Somebody, let's pray. Come on, somebody be bold enough. Star 5.
All right. Good evening, caller.
Good evening, everyone. Bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with humbleness, reverence, and respect. We come to you saying thank you for waking us up. and for laying us down in peace, Father. Father, we ask for your blessings and to keep us in the path and to bring us together one more time at our appointed hour to uplift your name, and that something said that may lift us and have us go out and spread your word. Keep us together, Father. Bless our family, friends, enemies, and acquaintances. And most of all, we want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the many blessings that you've already bestowed upon us. I ask these things in your name, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love it. I love a genuine prayer because it's not coerced. And I appreciate you for that, standing up. Not coerced. You're not worried about who listening, who trying to judge. Because the thing is, this is a direct line between us and God. Okay?
Amen.
God know we messed up from the get-go. So, God, please just accept my genuine words. It may not be how everybody else pray, but the thing is, my prayer is not based on tradition.
Amen.
Oh, y'all don't hear me. I'm trying to help somebody out that need this more so than anybody else. Simply because, well, we will succumb to the tradition of man, and if we don't say a prayer like they be saying on TV and at your church, yeah, you think that you're not suited, but that royal line has lied enough to you. Prayer, God receives it based on the purity of your heart. Y'all hear me?
Yes.
So stop
Amen.
Walking around being fearful, because if you can't pray aloud, the devil knows you won't bother to pray in silence. Huh?
That's right.
I'm trying to tell y'all something. Because don't you say speaking into existence? Prayer is spoken into existence too, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to impress nobody. I don't care if he got on the phone and say, Father God, help us, and we just need you. I don't have too much to say. I really don't know what to say right now, God, but you know we need you, and we just thank you. We recognize you. Amen.
Amen.
That's great. Let somebody tell you different, that somebody is trying to lie to you. Sometimes I love you is good enough, isn't it?
Amen.
Sometimes you don't need all the bells and the whistles, right? You just need an I love you. Well, God is saying that. Just need an I love you through a prayer.
All right.
Y'all have a great night. We'll see y'all on Wednesday for Bible study. Have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.